Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I'm Rob Oliver, and I appreciate you listening today. Today, my guest is Laura Briggs. She is an entrepreneur, a freelancing coach, and author of three books with Entrepreneur Press, including the award-winning How to Start Your Own Freelance Writing Business. Laura, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, I'm excited to chat with you and learn more.
I guess we can just start off with this. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you ended up doing freelance writing. Is that something that you started out to do, or were you headed in a different direction and this is where you kind of chose to be or ended up?
This is definitely something where I chose to be here or ended up here specifically, because I was on track to be an educator. I really thought I was going to be a tenure track professor teaching political science or public policy. I've done everything but my PhD dissertation to get that doctorate, and kind of had a year of teaching experience at the secondary level. I was a seventh grade teacher and realized that I did not really want to do 20 or 30 years working in education. So freelancing started as a side hustle for me and grew into my full-time career, and has kind of, you know, doing my freelance services has wavered between being full-time and part-time depending on what project I have on my plate since then.
So tell me a little bit then about freelance writing. What exactly is that? Who are you writing for? And what kind of writing are you doing?
There's lots of different ways that you can offer freelance writing services. I primarily have been an SEO blog content writer. That means that the content that I create for my clients is designed to help them rank effectively on Google for their chosen keywords. I also do email newsletters, lead magnets, and some social media copywriting, like for Facebook ads and things like that.
What kind of businesses are you working with?
I've worked with law firms, digital marketing agencies, and solopreneurs all over the country, and I've even had some international clients in Germany and Canada and all over the place.
So you're becoming an international writer, and now, do you get credit for these as far as your name on the articles, or like how does that work?
Usually for content writing, if you're not pitching essays and things to an online magazine or a traditional news publication like a newspaper or Business Insider, most of the time you are not getting a byline, which means your name is not being associated with that article. So 95% of everything that I create is ghostwritten. It's because my clients don't have the time, the interest, or the ability to create it themselves. And so they're passing that off to me.
Okay, I guess I have to ask this question. Can you really make a living doing this?
Absolutely. I scaled to having a six-figure business within 18 months of getting started, and it's been a multiple six-figure business since then. I've also been able to branch out to offer things like courses, books, paid public speaking events as well, and develop some passive income streams. So a lot of people think that being a freelance creative, and especially being a writer, that's often associated with being broke. I have not found that to be a case because these are highly marketable and in-demand skills.
How do you find the folks that are looking for freelance writers? Because I've looked on a couple of different sites, and there are people that want you to write like a 20,000 word book, and they're happy to pay you like $600 or something. And so to me, that's a lot of work for a little pay. How do you find this? How do you establish yourself as someone that's worth whatever it is that you're going to be able to make from these jobs?
Well, you're always going to want to overlook any of the cheap clients. They're everywhere, and there will always be cheap clients because people assume that you can outsource anything and get it for much, much cheaper. Writing is really challenging with that because you want it to sound like it's coming from a native English speaker, and you want it to have really good grammar and punctuation structure as well. And so you have to look for the clients who recognize that writing is a skill and pay for it as such. And you need to reference any specific training or background that you have that could make you be really effective. So I've spent 8 years writing for search engine optimization. I've used every software on the market, and I know how to do the writing, but also the content strategy for my clients, which means that they understand that I'm not going to be willing to come into a project and receive beginner level rates because I'm really doing more than the writing, and I'm helping guide the strategy too.
Okay, you have your PhD ABD, right? It's all but your dissertation. You're a really highly educated person. Is this something that is limited just to folks with an education like yours, or who else can get involved with this?
I think as far as freelance writing specifically, as long as you have a general knowledge of how to write and you enjoy writing and reading, you can be successful. You don't need to be classically trained in anything. I get that question a lot. Oh, do I need to have a master's in fine arts? Do I need to have studied English or communications or journalism? I didn't study any of those things when I was in college. So no, you just need to have a passion and an interest for the language. And if writing isn't something you feel comfortable with, there's lots of other ways to specialize as a freelancer. You can become a virtual assistant and do online data entry and research and things like that as well.
Okay, so I've got to ask you this personal question, right? My son is 18 years old. He is graduating from high school. Literally, his graduation is coming up on Saturday, and he loves to write, and he talks about being a freelance writer. What advice would you give for somebody who is at that point in their life, just starting out? They don't have that kind of resume and career behind them. What advice would you give to somebody like an 18-year-old kid coming out of high school who likes to write?
I would say that you want to teach yourself as much as you can about online marketing today. And so go look for free certifications, YouTube tutorials, or cheap classes on udemy.com to learn about content writing, the difference between content writing and copywriting, SEO, how to write for sales, the psychology of writing. All of that will be a really great place to start and make sure that he's passionate about the kind of writing that tends to sell in the business world today.
You mentioned free certifications that you can get online. What are those, and can you give me some examples?
Sure. A great place to start is HubSpot. HubSpot has multiple free certifications that you can take and add to your resume or to your LinkedIn profile. They have certifications in email marketing and content marketing. So those would be the places that I would definitely recommend starting for anyone who's new to digital marketing.
All right. So now we've covered one end of the spectrum with a kid coming out of high school. Is this something that, I'm thinking about a mom who doesn't have a whole lot of time, but she's looking to make some money on the side while her kids are taking naps. Is that also a possible market where folks could fit in with the freelance writing?
Yes. In fact, it's one of the biggest reasons why people like to freelance. It's highly flexible. You can do this if you have a full-time job. Most clients don't care about you being available at specific hours. They care more about you being able to deliver on deadline. So if you have a need for a very flexible schedule where you decide that you need to work at 10 o'clock at night or at 4 o'clock in the morning to get things done, that's going to be fine with freelancing. And that's very rarely true of other business opportunities. So this fits well with people who need a lot of support and flexibility.
You're making six figures doing this, and that's very impressive. Is this something that folks can, what are the possible earning potentials with this from scaling it from just being a side hustle where you're writing one or two things a week all the way up to, and maybe that's another part of it, how many articles, how many pieces of writing are you producing a week in order to be able to achieve the earning potential that you've got?
Well, I would say it varies every single day and every single week. So there's no one formula because you'll always be working on different sizes of projects. I would say that to earn six figures, you're going to be working at least 30 hours or more per week on your freelance business to scale it up. You'll also need to scale it up the right way. So that sometimes means getting rid of particular clients, but I would say at least 30 hours per week. And usually the people who hit that soon, within a couple of months, are the ones that are working really hard and are hitting the ground running with their marketing, because clients aren't necessarily going to come to you. You have to go out and find them.
Do you have particular niches that you are writing in, or are you being asked to write about topics that you have nothing about, that you know nothing about? What kind of topics are you being asked to write about?
I'm asked to write about all different kinds of topics. The main thing with content marketing is that you are writing for your clients' readers. And so you have to put yourself in their shoes to decide what they're going to need to read to feel comfortable that this client they're working with or considering working with is a true expert. So I've written extensively about topics in the legal field. I do not have a JD. I have not been to law school. I have not been a practicing attorney. So I love to research and read and write. And so for me, that's a fun process. There are certain topics that I find to be too complicated or outside of my depth. I don't want to write about corporate business transactions or tax strategy. But most of the time you can find good resources and information on the internet. So anyone who's using content marketing as their strategy could be a potential client for a freelance writer.
How do you find your clients? And is there a website that you use, or are there multiple websites that you use? Do you have your own website? How do you work all of that out?
I do have my own website. I have not found that to be the primary driver of marketing in my freelance business. So I use job boards such as Upwork.com. I also use my LinkedIn profile extensively. And then I offer referral bonuses to all of my ongoing clients, and I work with them on retainer. So many of them choose to work with me for a long period of time. One of my clients has had me on monthly retainer for 7 years at this point. And so that's definitely the kind of relationship that I prefer to have with my clients, is long-term. So a mixed marketing strategy can be most effective.
You're talking about kind of scaling this business up, and you talk about starting and in 18 months, getting it up to where you wanted it to be. What were the steps that you took in the beginning to start the process? And then how did you kind of ramp that up into where you are today?
I started first of all with 3 writing samples that I created that had never been published anywhere. I hadn't been paid to create them. I had not sold them. They were not published by anyone. I created them to be an example of what my work could look like. So I used those 3 samples to land my first couple dozen projects. I had a full-time job when I first got started with this as a side hustle. So for 13 months, I was also working 8:30 to 5 for somebody else. So I woke up early. I worked on the nights. I worked on weekends. My husband was a physician doing his internship just after medical school, so he was never home. And so that definitely helped me have extra time to be able to do all of this work. And then I really started to realize that by becoming more specialized in the legal field and as an SEO writer, I could really scale this up and be a niched expert where I became the go-to person. And I converted most of my clients from one-off projects to working on retainer instead.
All right, for those of us not familiar completely with the vernacular, you're talking about retainer and you're talking about one-off projects. What's the difference?
So a one-off project is where a client is hiring you for something that has a very specific beginning and end date, and you're not going to work with them on an ongoing basis. So if someone comes to you and says, I need 4 new pages written for my website, write, you know, send me a proposal for that, and then we'll do an invoice and contract from there. That's a one-off project. If a client comes to me and says, I need 4 blog posts every single month for the next 3 or 6 months, I view that as a retainer project. So that means that I have recurring revenue from the same client. And the more clients that you have on that recurring revenue model, the easier it is to predict your cash flow and scale your business. Because when you work with someone once, you have to learn everything they want, all of their guidelines, research their industry, and then you only complete the work for them once. And so it's also going to be your slowest project is your first project with them. And it's a lot of time and effort to put in to only work with them once and then have to go back to the drawing board to find somebody new to work with in the next month.
Okay. That helps me understand it a lot, because as far as being on retainer, there is an expectation of what you are to produce. It's not like you're kind of hanging out there in limbo and on demand, but they're saying, okay, these are the expectations of what I'm asking you to produce each month. And we kind of basically have a contract that says for X number of months, you are going to produce these particular writing pieces, and that's going to happen every month for the duration of the contract. It makes a lot of sense. Are you finding that right now, with the economy kind of being slowed down, that it's a rough time to be part of the freelance writing market?
Not necessarily. I think now is a great time for freelancers to be diversifying and learning new things. There's a lot of people who are jumping into scaling up the online side of their business or going completely virtual if they can. And so one thing that the pandemic has opened people's eyes to is that if they didn't have a method of running their business virtually and serving clients virtually before, they need one now. And so that means they need online marketing, and part of that is content marketing. So I always stay up to date in a couple of different types of skills as a freelancer. So I don't just write. I also do Facebook advertising. I do Amazon advertising for authors. And that means that if any one of my service areas were to take a hit for some reason, I could always pivot into one of the other ones and rely on it more.
So if someone's thinking about becoming a freelance writer, do you have kind of some tips as to if they're doing a self-assessment, say, what characteristics are there that really kind of suit this market and make you ideal as a freelance writer?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can learn whether or not this is a good fit for you as a business model. Lots of freelancers across different types of industries have a lot of things in common. So they like working by themselves. They like meeting deadlines. They like doing something different every single day. People who are freelance writers will be really passionate about the writing process and what it takes to get a project done. They'll be passionate about wordsmithing and thinking about things from a strategic perspective of how do I choose titles and how do I lay pieces out and how do I connect with a reader only using the written word. And so I like to say too that if you were the type of person in group projects in school who actually did all the work, even if everyone else slacked off, you'll do really well as a freelancer because it falls to you as the business owner to go out there and get clients and to finish projects. So you have to be very internally motivated and organized.
Yeah, it sounds like it definitely takes a certain personality type to do this. Mm-hmm. But from what you said before, even though it may have a certain personality type, that it doesn't take a certain knowledge base. It's something that you've got to be able to learn and adapt and do some research. So how would you say your time is divided between researching the information that you're going to write about and actually doing the writing?
At this point, I've been writing for so long that the actual writing process is very fast for me. I split everything into three different phases as a writer. There's research, there's writing, and there's editing and turning it in. I like to do those on different days. So it's actually very slow to sit down and start a project and work on it for 4 or 5 hours and try to get it from the point of having nothing done to the point of being ready to turn it in. So I try to do things together in batches. I will do all the research for my clients. I will do all the writing for different clients, and then I will do all of the editing and turning it in together. It's easier for your brain to focus on one core task at a time. So if I have a blog that's due on Tuesday, on Friday, I'm probably doing the research to lay it out so that I can write it as quickly as possible. Sometimes I even use my virtual assistants to help me pull specific resources or data points that I'm going to need to write that piece.
Okay, so you have a virtual assistant, maybe multiple virtual assistants. Tell me a little bit about how you find them and what they do for you and how they contribute to your business.
I think virtual assistants are one of the most important ways that you can scale your business because after a while, you can't do everything yourself. And so I only have two people on my team. Both of them are part-time, but they do a tremendous amount of work to move things forward. I have an online business manager who handles all operations, everything regarding my podcast, except recording the actual episode is handled by her. She's running reports on how we're growing things. She's sending out my email newsletters to my followers. She's making sure we keep things updated on the website and are moving projects forward at all times. My other virtual assistant is working on all kinds of random projects behind the scenes. He helps update my website, make sure we have the right security protocols and plugins and all of that. He creates all of my PowerPoint presentations for my courses and when I do online events, and he does a decent amount of research for me as well, just to make sure that we're always using the best technology and I have the right resources I need to create the materials that I need to or to write the books that I have to write.
How do you handle it when you write something for a client and they give you feedback that says, I don't like your writing, or I don't like this article, or I need you to change that? How do you handle that? Is that part of your personality? Because listen, I've written 3 books and I put my heart and soul into writing those books. And if someone were to tell me like, I don't like this, I need you to rewrite it, I can be defensive about that. How do you handle those kind of things?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's helpful feedback and then there's feedback that just isn't as valuable. So I actually don't allow clients to give me vague feedback. I just don't like this. This just won't work. That's not helpful feedback whatsoever because it doesn't tell me what they're not thrilled with about it. And so I, number one, I always make sure that my clients sign a contract and initial that they have read my writing samples and agree that the work that I provide to them will be substantially similar in style, tone, and voice. So that's going to eliminate 90% of your problems by people saying, yes, I've read other work that you've created. I like the way that you write. I'm happy with it. If a client gives me vague feedback, that's when I'm going to push back and say, there's no edits that I can make based on the information that you've provided. So I need more specific feedback. Like, I don't like the way that paragraph one ends. It seems to leave people without a clear action step of what to do next. That's helpful feedback. There's also a fine line to walk when you're a writer between hearing someone else's feedback and seeing it as valuable to improving the work. And then some things where you actually might know more than a client. So sometimes clients will say, oh, well, I want to take this, this, and this out. And you have to stand up and say, you know, the reason that that's in there is for a very specific purpose. And if we eliminate it, it could do a lot of damage to the goal that we're trying to achieve here. So I'm going to push back and recommend that maybe we reword it or think about it in a different way, but its purpose for being in the piece is very important.
You mentioned your writing samples again, and if someone is thinking about becoming a freelance writer and they're going to follow the pattern that you laid out where you're writing a couple sample pieces beforehand, I think you mentioned that you had done three. Mm-hmm. What would you give them as some ideas as to what to write about? How long should they write? You know, what is a good sample piece that will give kind of a client an idea of what you're all about?
I think you should aim to have articles or blog posts as your initial writing samples, unless your writing product that you want to offer is very different from that. Like say you want to do white papers or sales copy, then you should have a white paper or sales copy sample. But I like to look for things that are at least one page long. Maybe having a short sample and a longer sample can be helpful for clients to see how you tackle different subjects and things of different depths. But what I would do is just think about an industry that intrigues you and do a little bit of research. What would be a good article title for someone who's interested in that industry? Come up with that, do the research and the writing, and put that together as your sample so that you can show the client how you would typically approach a project like that.
Very interesting. I love the idea. Does this ever get to be like a grind or frustrating, or is it something that it takes a little while to get traction and get your business built up? During that 18 months when you were kind of ramping up and scaling up, was it ever like, man, this is really hard, I'm about to give up? What was that experience like for you?
Well, I would say that you're always going to encounter challenges as a business owner. That's never going to go away. So what I like to say is choose a business that you can handle the potential downsides of it. So I'm always monitoring my business to see when I feel like I'm getting bored or I'm potentially getting burned out so that I can make adjustments as necessary. And yes, sometimes it is a grind. And especially when you first start, you have no clients. So you have to spend a lot of time marketing yourself to try to get those conversations going. And that can be really exhausting. But it's also very important work to keep things moving forward and to figure out what you can do more effectively. So I think that you should be prepared for some hard times. You should be prepared for a lot of people to tell you the word no, and that's okay. You'll eventually adapt and do what you can to evolve from that point.
I guess it's kind of everything that you're doing, that it's practice that makes perfect, and the more you do it, the better you become at it. I really appreciated what you had to say, though, and that is to be deliberate in your writing, because sometimes I'm thinking about high school kids, when a teacher gives them an assignment and says, I need you to write 1,000-word essay, they are more concerned with filling up 1,000 words than they are with delivering quality content. It sounds to me like, yes, there is an expectation of how long it's supposed to be, but the emphasis has to be on the quality of what you're writing and on the value of how that appeals and applies to the readers of that. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes. So there's going to be general guidelines. Most clients are going to give you a word length that they want you to stay in or around. And so it takes some practice to figure out how much depth you can go into with these different concepts. But it's definitely not like you don't want to be in a position where you feel like you're just writing enough words to meet the requirement. So that's where that strategy and doing the research and the outlining before you write is really helpful. Because if a client says 1,000 words for an article, I like to sit down and plot out, okay, introductions, maybe about 100 words. And then what are the different sections that I'm going to have between the introduction and the conclusion that will get me pretty close to that word count and cover this issue in good depth?
Do you have kind of a guideline as to how much research equals how many words or anything like that?
It really depends on the technical nature of the article. Sometimes you can write things very easily with very little to no research, but if it's something that's more complicated, you're going to need to spend time gathering references ahead of time. So it really depends on the length of the article and how technical the piece is in nature and your awareness of that topic at all. So if somebody asks me to write articles about gardening, I don't know anything about gardening and I have never been able to grow anything besides a basil plant. So it's going to take me probably 10 times longer than someone who's been gardening their whole life and they know where to find those resources and they already know some of the material just in their head as well. So it depends on quite a few different things.
I got it. Laura, you have been very informative. If folks are interested in getting in touch with you, where can they find you? What's your website? You know, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
My website is betterbizacademy.com, and you can find my free podcast there. It's called Advanced Freelancing.
Fantastic. I will make sure and put that into the show notes so that people can get in touch with you and you know, just see what your work is and then they can learn from your podcast. Listen, you have established that you are a smart person. You have taught me a lot. I've learned. But at the end of every show, we do 3 questions to establish your humanity. And I'm wondering, are you ready for your 3 questions?
I am ready.
Okay. As we come out of this whole COVID-19 kind of lockdown and restriction, what is the thing that you are looking most forward to doing again?
Oh, it's definitely just having choices to go out and do things, right? I mean, now you have to be so specific and we don't really do things for fun. It's like, well, I guess my outing is to Target this week. So I think that just being able to go, hey, I can go to the Mall of America or I can go-karting or we could go swimming at a public pool. It'll just be nice to have those choices rather than feeling, you know, kind of constrained and forced into options.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the Mall of America. What I've learned about Minnesotans is that they refer to the Mall of America as kind of a tourist trap, yet they still go every 6 weeks or so to make sure that they've got themselves what they need. As far as running the business side of what you're doing, not the writing side, but the business side, do you have a go-to website or an app that helps you run your business?
I would say for me, that's Trello. It's a project management tool where me and my team members can connect, share documents, all be working from the same place and prioritize. So it also makes it easier for me when there's a bunch of things stacked up that I need to review or provide input on. I try to get everything out of my email inbox as much as possible, and that one is helpful.
All right. And the last one is an easy one, and that is, what is your ideal breakfast?
Oh, my ideal breakfast is probably scrambled eggs with bacon and pancakes.
So are you going any type of chocolate chips or fruit in the pancakes or plain pancakes, or what are you putting on your pancakes?
I keep everything really simple. I don't even use syrup. I've always been a fan of keeping things simple and clean. And so I just put butter on the pancakes and that's it.
Hey, you know what? This is a judgment-free zone. You eat things how you like to eat them. And you know what? You can handle however you want. My pancakes are a staple in our home, so fantastic. Listen, I really appreciate you being on this show. I think that you've provided a lot of information to think about. I will be happy to share all of your contact information down in the show notes. To everyone that's been listening, thank you for being part of the show. If you enjoyed the show today, check out our website at learningfromsmartpeople.com. Check us out on social media, LFSP Podcast. And I will remind you, as always, if you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.